Hi there, this is Mike Quinn. You'll know me as Nine Numb in Star Wars, and you're listening to the McSauce Podcast.
Say a little bit more compassionate person than Paul McGinty.
Let me.
Jedi
all right,
Knight.
So let's walk through. Let's walk through Kylo Ren's Rey offenses greatest hits
no,
and
I
see
mean,
if you're still and see if you're still compassionate afterwards.
A lot of bad stuff. Darth Vader did a lot of bad stuff. Do we feel like he was also redeemed at the end?
It's not a one for one. We're talking about
but it is.
Kylo. It isn't because it's offenses that we saw immediately done one to one, person to person.
Vader killed
in
kids.
in a very short timeline. So Kylo Ren murders his dad in front of Rey, one of Rey's buddies. Granted, newly found buddy.
Yeah.
They weren't that close. But
be like the guy you bumped into
still,
at a McDonald's.
Fuck, this dude just killed his dad.
Was it kind of like Darth Vader killing Luke's buddy Obi-Wan Kenobi?
I would consider that a little bit more of a buddy situation right in front of his eyeballs.
Yeah.
I am not here to debate who is worth redeeming and who isn't, because sure. Yeah. Darth Vader shouldn't have been redeemed. He should have fucking died a fucking monster at the end of that movie. So Kylo Ren kills his dad.
Your beloved monster slaying movie.
Kills
Return of the Jedi.
Kylo Ren kills his dad in front of Rey. Then he essentially drugs her and captures her and tortures her.
When did he drug her?
When he did like
I
the,
didn't
when
see
he did
pour
like the
any
force
that,
roofie.
He did a force roofie.
Yeah.
As
he,
the doctor in Human Centipede would say, Rohypnol.
He forced Rohypnol'd her in the forest and then took her to the ship, tied her up.
Wouldn't that have been something if he sewed Rey, Finn, and Poe together?
And then they could shit in each other's mouths like Paul wants to see.
I can assure you, Finn would have been in the middle of that centipede.
Oh, boy.
Poe
so
would have been
then he,
you know where.
He fights her almost to the death. Saved only by a lucky break in the ground that split them up. In Force Awakens, he tells her she's a complete piece of garbage. Leads her on for the entire movie. They're Force Skyping. There's a lot of sensitivity. Oh, maybe. I've already
I've already
watched him kill his father and was mind raped by this guy. But you know what? Still redeemable. And then at the end of all that, he's like, no, you're junk. Your parents are junk. Everything's junk. Come with me.
Maybe that's the truth that she needed to hear. The hard truth.
Maybe, but it's still not like, it's still not, this is the fucking guy. And before that, he helped blow up the ship that his mother was on. But matricide and patricide that we've already seen this dude commit. And he fucking slit her best bro's spine right up the fucking back of it. She watched him essentially kill Finn. Finn should be fucking dead. There is no reason that Finn should still be alive. He should be fucking dead after getting a lightsaber raked up his fucking spine.
Space care for all.
Jesus Christ. So then by the end of The Last Jedi, he's like, you're junk, you're a trash person. And then he's still fighting over that fucking lightsaber. And then for all intents and purposes, Luke Skywalker, flesh and blood Luke Skywalker, is sitting down on the salt flats of Crait. No one knows that's not Luke. Everyone thinks it's Luke because Luke doesn't tip off anyone. Hey, this is just a fucking ghost. And then Kylo Ren's like, all of you fucking super adats, kill this motherfucker. So now it's Uncle Side. like he's killing everybody. Everyone that means anything to Rey, Kylo Ren has been like, kill them, kill everybody. So then
Darth Vader partially was responsible for blowing up Alderaan.
So then by
an
the time...
An entire planet full of people. So all this stuff you're talking about, Vader did.
I already said, he's a monster. I'm glad he's dead. I wish Luke would have stabbed him through his fucking heart. So then by the time...
That would make him quite the different hero that we all grew up loving and adoring.
A hero that knew when to get shit done. But instead he was a little pussy and he was like, no. Throws his lightsaber aside. I'm not going to kill this monster. Rey should kill this fucking monster because Kylo Ren he should be irredeemable in Rey's eyes because there isn't even the familial connection with Luke and Rey.
Not yet.
Or with Luke and Rey. With Darth Vader and Luke. But I don't think, even if at some point in this movie, there's going to be enough of a timeline. There's not going to be enough time spanned for to justify, oh, well, they're brother and sister. She can't kill him now. He's still a fucking murderous stranger to her. Like, there's absolutely no reason. Like, JJ is going to have to reach up in his fucking butthole and pull out some sweet, sweet storytelling gold to make me be like, oh, this does make sense that we're redeeming him and he's not a complete monster in Rey's eyes.
Well, there's no way that you can understand that because you're taking your own personal views and thrusting them upon Rey. You're living as Rey, so your idea of who is redeemable and who is not to you is different than what these characters' interactions
I am. Are that's going right. To. I am living as Rey, and what Rey has seen of Kylo Ren
but it's not
through these movies.
But you know that's not what she's going to feel because that's not what she's felt the whole time.
But that's what she should feel because
you say so.
Because we've seen Kylo Ren's actions directly to her, from her. Like, these movies have been from her perspective. We've seen what Kylo Ren has done, and it's atrocity after atrocity.
And somehow she's not a bitter psychopath like you are right now.
I don't believe for a second that you believe Kylo Ren should be redeemed.
I think that he will be. I think that it's in the realm of possibility that Rey could try to forgive, and I think it's more than likely that she will try to forgive and redeem him.
100%. She will forgive him, and he will be redeemed at the end of Rise of Skywalker. But that makes no sense. That makes less sense than the Mandalorians never take their helmets off. Why? Why would you fucking write such a fucking period to that statement? Like, why wouldn't you let the shit breathe a little bit? Like, the Sith, there can be only two. Why? Why? That's fucking stupid. That's fucking dumb. Smarter than that. They're smarter than that.
Are we going to get into this Mando heat?
Welcome to episode 304 of the McSauce Podcast. It is Monday night, November 25th.
We always record on Monday nights, Paul.
Right?
It's the 25th, yeah.
It is the 25th. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian the Sauce Sharpley.
Hello.
And Matt Cassell.
This is the way.
Like I said, it is Monday night, November 25th. And tonight, we're going to talk a little Thanksgiving, what we're thankful for. We're going to talk about some upcoming DC film projects, and then maybe we're going to talk a little Mandalorian. I don't know if we can say that, but that's what they call him. So it seems like it's not a species slur.
Back in the
1930s, Star Wars universe,
they used to call people a lot of things too.
Though
so.
You can fucking bet that Kylo Ren would call him a slur for Mandalorian because that dude's a fucking piece of trash.
It's the kind of guy that he's proven himself to be.
Speaking of trash, let's talk housekeeping with Ian Sharpley.
McSauce.com is where you can find our trash strips and garbage podcast. Hit us up on all the
social... No, our products are good. Your trash is what I meant.
Oh, I wasn't getting that. Hit us up on the social meds. We have a YouTube channel, Instagram, Facebook, all of the different medias. You can check out the podcast on all the places that you find podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podomatic. We are on Odyssey1.com as a internet radio station, so check us out there Wednesday nights, late night. And you can also find some of our products. We have t-shirts and the like on TeePublic. Go to TeePublic.com and type in MCSOSS, and you can find all of our great products there. So why don't we get into some, We want to do Thanksgiving talk. It's the week of Thanksgiving. You guys have to go to work this week, or did you guys take days off?
I'm at work the first half of the week. I'll be off Thanksgiving Day and Friday.
Black Friday. Mando Friday, as they like to call it.
Why? You can't claim him.
I don't know.
You can't claim him.
No, I know. He's clearly...
Hispanic.
Hispanic, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I know. So...
Are you off this week, Matt?
Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
You're off on Black Friday. Now, do you guys do anything on Black Friday or just hang out, chill?
Gonna try to talk my mom into seeing Mr. Rogers, though. She has been a hard sell for going to the movies the last couple
of years. Is she like, he can't be redeemed, that fucking sweater?
I know it's gonna be something. Like, it's Tom Hanks playing Mr. Rogers. Like, it's America's dad playing all that has ever been good in the world. But I know she's going to find some reason the theater's too loud or theater's too cold. Something. I know it's going to be fucking something. And I, much like Kylo Ren, may kill my mother or attempt to kill my mother this Thanksgiving.
I'm starting to see where you get your always complaining about shit from.
From Luke Skywalker?
from your
Kylo
mother.
Ren.
Yeah, from Kylo Ren. You throw fits like Kylo Ren.
Yeah, he's like, this theater is too cold.
Because garbage people know garbage people. We recognize
game
our
game recognizes
own.
Game.
So, yeah, there's no real tradition. You know, I'll spend the latter half of the week in the beautiful rural hamlet of Gettysburg. Maybe we'll go see Mr. Rogers, but maybe we'll just sit around the house and watch scary movies.
Sounds cool.
Those scary Thanksgiving movies.
Yeah. Are there any?
The fuck?
Yeah. So if there were a Thanksgiving movie watching tradition, what would it be? I know we've talked about Uncle Buck before. Isn't that a Thanksgiving movie?
It's not. No? It's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. That's the Thanksgiving
getting
movie.
Getting your candies mixed up.
That's right. Oh. Are there any other Thanksgiving movies?
Spaceballs.
I feel like there should be.
Well, there's a movie that Paul prefers. It was when they remade Uncle Buck and they called it Dutch with Ed O'Neill and that other kid. I forget his name. I'm sorry.
It's Ethan Embry. Why would you call it when they remade it?
Because it copies the plot of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Because they call their stepdad Uncle Buck?
What
and the
fuck?
Kid, and then the kid is a complete Kylo Ren piece of garbage?
Wait, there is no Uncle Buck in either of these movies.
Oh, Planes... Wait, what are you relating to Dutch?
Dutch was a remake of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Dutch is about a stepfather-child relationship. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is two men, two strange men.
What?
Fucking each other in their pillows.
I can't argue with that, but let me ask you this.
I get it. They're road movies. We're trying to get from point A to point B under less than stellar circumstances.
Yeah.
All right.
Different modes of transportation, perhaps?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the holiday that they're trying to make it back in time for?
Well, you know what? You can't... I fucking dare you to name a Thanksgiving movie that is not a road trip movie.
Apparently,
Home for the Holidays.
Nope. Doesn't count. That's a Christmas movie.
Well, what is Thanksgiving traditionally about?
Driving. Traveling.
Absolutely.
Food and family and football.
How do you get to family
you drive
if
there.
You moved away from them because they drove you crazy?
You travel.
Yeah, you travel.
Traveling.
So it's naturally going to be Christmas movies also. Heavy travel movies.
I love that I was being funny, but Ian just made my point legitimate. Thank you for being infinitely smarter than me.
Well, you know, that's what I'm here for. Couple nuggets that I found on the old wiki that are interesting.
Nugs.
The Big Chill is a considered a Thanksgiving movie. Isn't that movie about going somewhere and having sex with other people's wives?
I don't know what
Isn't
the Big
the
Chill
big
is.
I think that's what the Big Chill is about. But the nugget that is interesting to me is it's written by Star Wars' own Lawrence Kasdan.
Oh, so, LKaz.
Little connection there, right? And the other amazing movie, probably my favorite Thanksgiving movie, Pauly Shore's Son-in-Law.
That's a Thanksgiving movie? Is there traveling in it?
Right, because why is she going... Why is Carla Gugino going back home? Because
I never saw
Giving break.
Son-in-Law.
You never saw Son-in-Law? You're a piece of fucking garbage like Kylo Ren.
Game recognizes game. Is it a traveling movie? I don't think it is. I think it's fish out of water, Pauly Shore with the family movie.
Why are we bringing Pauly Shore to the family? Because he has nowhere to go for Thanksgiving because his family disowned him or whatever. We're bringing him back to Oklahoma or wherever she's from. That's why we're traveling back home. That's why he's a fish out of water.
Right. But the bulk of the movie is not him, is not the journey, right? Like, the bulk of the movie is fish out of water at home
with
her
family. The point of the movie is we're taking somebody from L.A. or wherever the movie is set in back to Oklahoma.
Right. Fish out of water. Dutch and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles are...
Right, but the device
We start in one place, and then we follow the actual journey, be it by plane, train, or automobile, to the destination. Matt, you're with me, right?
Yeah, whereas in Dutch, they just use automobiles.
Right, but in
so
in
you
Son-in-Law...
Have the traveling movie,
in Son-in-Law,
multiple...
there's no traveling.
I mean, they...
But it's not. But it's not a huge part of the movie. Like,
right?
Yeah,
we're
gets
not talking
there.
About traveling movie. We're talking about Thanksgiving movies.
But we already said to be a Thanksgiving movie, it needs to be about the journey.
Not really. I mean, you're traveling
the
from
physical
one place
journey,
or...
not the emotional journey, which is where Son-in-Law lands. It's about Pauly Shore's emotional journey with Carla Gugino's
family. What about Kylo Ren's emotional journey?
Coming from the man who just 30 seconds ago was like, I've never seen this movie before. You're right, Paul. Absolutely, you fucking idiot. No, it's not about that at all.
But I know...
Thanksgiving movie takes place around Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving is the driving reason why you're doing things in the movie,
yes,
you fucking
idiot. I'm not disputing that Son-in-Law is a Thanksgiving movie. 100%.
Except
Son-in-Law
that I am.
No, I'm not. Son-in-Law is a Thanksgiving movie, but Son-in-Law is not a traveling movie.
Right, I wasn't saying
that. But that's
that.
What I was saying.
Traveling
and
part of
Thanksgiving. And we already said, in jest, the bit is over because you fucking ruined it, that to be a Thanksgiving movie, it has to be a traveling movie.
You have to have... Travel is inherent in Thanksgiving movies, is what I'm saying.
It was fun. What else is a Thanksgiving movie that may or may not include the traveling conceit?
The lovable dog movie, Beethoven.
Really?
I don't remember
Thanksgiving
that being a
movie?
Thanksgiving movie.
On the list, dog.
I don't doubt it, but I've seen Beethoven far less than I've seen Son-in-Law.
Yeah,
I've
no
seen,
shit, because
I've
Son-in-Law
seen,
is zero, and you've seen, like...
I've seen bits and pieces of Son-in-Law. Like, I've seen enough of Son-in-Law. I've never seen Beethoven.
Really?
Really.
Interesting.
I get Beethoven confused with Problem Child, because the star of the movie are both things that I want to kill.
The hashtag Kylo Ren problem.
Yeah, right.
Hashtag dogs and children.
Beethoven, Ren.
Matt, you've been awful quiet. Any particular Thanksgiving movies?
Well, I was trying to say earlier, Home for the Holidays with Holly Hunter is a Thanksgiving movie that doesn't involve travel. Sure, the emotional journey, Paul, much like Pauly Shore's emotional journey, but...
Buddy?
I can't think of too many other ones, but the quintessential, the most important one is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I feel like it is just as much a holiday tradition as Christmas Vacation.
I mean, do you watch it as much as Christmas Vacation?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes. Yeah.
I
think it's just as good. Is it a coincidence that they were both written by John Hughes?
Maybe.
I think John Hughes directed Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I don't think he directed... Did he direct Christmas Vacation?
No, I don't think so. This, he wrote Vacation, right? But I don't think that he was involved with any of the subsequent Vacation movies.
John, I think he was.
Was he? I thought he wrote Vacation and that was his springboard to doing his own thing.
Well, he didn't direct Christmas Vacation. That was Jeremiah Chechik. If that's how you say it. But it was written by John Hughes.
Oh, okay.
Let's see here. John Hughes.
This list is also saying that Rocky and Rocky 2 are Thanksgiving movies. Do you remember any Thanksgiving portions of Rocky?
I don't. Rocky 1, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was
my memory.
It was the part when he went to Adrian and Polly's for Thanksgiving. He was going to take her out and she kind of, you know, didn't want to go. And Polly freaked out because he was drunk.
Oh, that's right.
Threw the turkey out into the alley.
To take care of me, right?
Yeah. And then she flipped out on him and she went into her bedroom. Yeah. You're busted. You're busted. And he started squealing. And then Rocky took her ice skating. It was very tender.
Do you feel like that then?
No.
So then what counts? I mean, I know Paul has stringent rules about how many fucking wheels.
I mean, it's
involved
the whole,
in the travel.
It listen, Rocky is as much a Thanksgiving movie as Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
I saw
so
a
not
Die
at
Hard,
all.
I saw a Die Hard Christmas pack of DVDs today at Target. So you guys are wrong.
That shit is. It has caught on in pop culture as being a Christmas movie, even though it isn't. But
yeah, even though it isn't, it's undeniable that it's a Christmas movie at this point.
Brokeback Mountain, Thanksgiving movie, it says here.
But why?
I guess it
does. It explain why?
I guess that fucking all took place on the mountain during Thanksgiving.
Well,
I
son of
know.
A bitch, guess who wrote Dutch?
Lawrence Kasdan.
Lawrence Kasdan.
Yeah.
Fuck,
buddy.
Yes,
but
big
his
dick
his,
swinger of Thanksgiving movies.
But his ghostwriter name was John Hughes.
So you're saying that he... who wrote Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
I'm thinking Hughes? It was John Hughes.
All right.
So written by John Hughes.
So we've...
directed by John Hughes.
We've beaten this into the ground. So there are a lot of Thanksgiving movies. Are there any Thanksgiving movies that you guys are going to watch, or is this just a bit for the podcast?
There's a Thanksgiving movie coming out in probably a couple years, and it's going to be called The Batman.
Is that coming out around Thanksgiving?
No, it's going to be partially about Thanksgiving. If the rumors that it will loosely adapt The Long Halloween are true.
Jesus
well,
Christ.
If it was in the title, The Long Halloween, then wouldn't it count as a Halloween movie? And I know The Long Halloween's all about Calendar Man and calendars.
Isn't Halloween in it twice, though? Because it goes...
Because it,
so
right,
then,
because it starts and ends
so then
on
it
Halloween.
Should be a Halloween movie and not a Thanksgiving. It's not called The Long Turkey Day.
Well, I guess we'll just have to watch and see.
The long football game.
How many wheels...
Are involved. Shit, Paul's got it. The over-under on wheel says Thanksgiving movie. You fucking
so
moron.
we wanted to talk a little bit tonight about some DC movie announcements. Matt, you saw today that the Black Adam movie is going to be called Black Adam? Or it's going to be called Justice Society?
I believe it is going to be called the Black Adam movie. Why wouldn't they call it that?
I hope it's called
the Black Adam movie.
Why wouldn't you? That's your star, Dwayne Johnson. Seems to be box office gold.
So
at this
then
point.
It would be
unless
the
it's
Rock's
skyscraper
Black Adam movie.
The Rock's
perhaps
the Black Adam movie
brought to you by Dwayne Johnson.
Coming next Thanksgiving.
I believe that this is going to come out in 2021. I think I don't remember. But The thing that apparently it's finally moving forward, even though it's been in development hell for a minute. And it looks like they're going to introduce the Justice Society of America, which if they set it as kind of a period piece kind of thing, maybe like Wonder Woman, that could be pretty interesting. DC, say what you want about them, but I feel
bad like movies.
I feel like they've had a really strong track record as of late.
They have had entertaining movies. I'm excited for Wonder Woman 1984. I love a period piece.
Doesn't that come out around Thanksgiving?
Next Thanksgiving, Wonder Woman 84.
That's the thing about Thanksgiving movies. Like, a lot of times it's not like you're not watching a movie that revolves around traveling. You're watching a movie that comes out around that particular holiday. You know what I mean? Like, didn't Harry Potter originally, well, Ian, you wouldn't know this. Paul, didn't the like original Harry Potter come out right around Thanksgiving?
I thought it did. The first, okay.
And wasn't there a train in that movie?
There was what?
Isn't there a train in Harry
There's
Potter?
There's a train. There's Christmas
Harry Potter
in that movie.
Came out around Christmas.
It came out around Thanksgiving. And
why would you ask me when it came out?
Well, because I'm trying to keep this
bit,
conversational. Please try to pay attention.
Are we just going to talk about Thanksgiving movies this whole time?
What I'm getting at, though, is a lot of the time I like to think of Thanksgiving movies as movies that kind of came out around the time. In a weird way, I almost look at like some of these new Star Wars movies as like Christmas movies. Like, it just, they kind of go with the season. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. I got you. So we don't know when Black Adam is going to come out.
It is 2021.
2021, which will be a backdoor for a Justice Society movie, a period piece.
Yeah, well,
we don't know that.
Apparently, they're going to be in it. My guess is that if they seem to be popular, then they'll get their own movie. Seems like kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think it could be pretty neat to see the Justice Society fight Black Adam, because I don't, in all of my DC comic book reading, I don't think I've ever seen that, and Black Adam's around in that time period, right? Like, I don't think he just reawakens when Shazam shows up.
No, I mean, like, not really, because Shazam in that time period was owned by another comic book company, so there is no track record,
right,
of that happening.
Oh well, no, yeah, not back then, but in all of the modern years since that DC has owned all of these characters. Like, I don't think there's ever been a Justice League versus Black Adam.
And if you
take the Shazam movies chronology into consideration, you know, they introduced Teth Adam very briefly. So he's around. So maybe, like, in that universe, he does fight the Justice Society.
And, Paul, for maybe some of the people that are listening that aren't as in tuned with the comic book lore as we are, can you briefly describe the Justice Society? It's not the Justice League. It's
the Justice Society is like World War II era Justice League, or even before them, maybe like 30s. It's before
1940s, I believe.
It's essentially before the Silver Age, which is when it's like the big sci-fi boom of the 60s. It's a lot of old school heroes. There were old versions of the Flash and Green Lantern.
Like, the Flash was based off of the god Mercury, kind of has the helmet, yeah. And
Green Lantern was based on magic. It wasn't a space Green Lantern core. It was a lantern, and its only weakness was wood.
Wood in the 1940s was impervious.
Were they like those battle beasts where like the water ones were susceptible to wood?
They were.
Alan Scott Green Lantern was a battle beast. And they had some weird guys. They had Wildcat, who was just a boxer that dressed up like a cat. And they had Hourman, who...
Wouldn't that be awesome if Mike Tyson just dressed up like a cat and went out and fought crime?
Hourman's power, he had like an hourglass and he would only get superpowers for an hour at a time. Like,
what a couldn't you just keep
couldn't you just keep flipping it upside down?
Maybe.
So that's infinite powers, right?
You'd think so. Yeah, Justice League just kind of. I think the original Black Canary was part of the Justice League.
Maybe.
Or Justice Society, maybe.
The original Sandman.
Oh, yeah. The original Hawkman.
That too.
Was in the Justice Society. So there's like just a real, like, for real motley crew in the Justice Society. But they've been enduring heroes. And what I always liked about the Justice Society was that Superman was never a part of the Justice Society. These characters in comic book creation, they existed on their own without Superman. Superman was always part of his own stories before there was a big melding of comic book companies and characters and DC buying whatever. So I always had the sense that the Justice Society were the first run of heroes. They were out there in the 30s and the 40s, you know, like doing like all of these heroic exploits, and they helped lay the base for Clark Kent of what heroes are.
Isn't that chronologically incorrect though? Like Superman's the first hero, but they were off doing their own things as a team first.
Right, but in a lot of DC chronology, once DC owned everybody, you know,
they retconned it.
Especially around the 80s, you know, John Byrne Man of Steel run. Superman's essentially the Kents find Superman in like 1970 or 1960, so that he's 20 in like 1980-ish comic time, crazy. So, like, it was always assumed that, you know, heroes existed in the universe, and Clark Kent grew up getting the moral compass from Ma and Pa Kent, but also seeing like all these other heroes, and then Superman shows up, and then Superman is just the, you know, Superman is the amalgamation of all of the things heroes should be, and he's the shining star at this point. And like, I always liked that Superman had other heroes to look up to, not just your parents are really good people, you should do what's right. Like, he got legitimate examples of what people with extraordinary abilities should do that set him on his path.
Boxers with a cat suit.
Still extraordinary boxing abilities, not just regular boxing abilities.
He wasn't like a Jack Murdock boxer.
Right.
Jack Murdock was really good. His moral compass was dinged a little bit.
He wasn't really good after the match, though.
Oh, right. Whenever he was murdered for not properly throwing the match.
I think a Justice Society movie could work if it was very stylized. Like, I think it needs to either feel like a really comic booky, like Dick Tracy kind of movie,
or like The Watchmen,
or it needs to feel like Zack Snyder's Watchmen.
Yeah,
it needs to have its own feel to it. Like, I don't think you can throw Our Man out there, like in like the with the polish of Shazam or Endgame. Like, I don't think it's gonna work. I think it needs to really have a specific style, like Spider-Man Noir from Spider-Verse. It needs to really have its own flavor, and I think you can do that if they're fighting Black Adam. I really fucking like that idea, and then that leads into the Shazam 2.
The search for more magic, I think, is what
yeah.
For the record, Black Adam, December 22nd, 2021.
Christmas movie.
Ian.
Yes.
Have you heard about the new Joker movie breaking all kinds of records out there in box office land?
Some fucking schmuck has been talking about it tonight all night long, so I have heard.
What schmuck?
You.
Did I talk about the Joker earlier?
You mentioned that you wanted to talk about
it. Since the mics have been on.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, the Joker apparently is doing quite well. it has become the number one grossing R-rated movie of all time. It made over $300 million domestically. It made over, I think, like around $800 million internationally. So it's over the $1 billion mark at this point. And I believe that it has effectively killed Jared Leto's chance of ever touching the Joker again, which every time I see pictures of it just offends me to no end. It was a travesty. It was an absolute insult to all, to everything that is decent and pure was his portrayal of that character. It was the worst fucking thing I've ever seen. Good riddance. I'm glad this did well, just so Jared Leto never gets to touch this character again.
That's a hot take. Have you recently rewatched Suicide Squad? Or
no,
what
I recently rewatched the Joker parts of Suicide Squad, and it is unbearable.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's horrible. I can't believe that it was only like a couple years ago. It feels like it was 15 years ago, because it just felt so amazingly out of touch. You remember like a lot of those comic book movies like Catwoman or Ghost Rider, shit like that. They just obviously didn't get it. It's like, how did this get made? I think there's a podcast for that, Paul. But it's a good question. It's a valid question. How did somebody make this? Well, in more modern times, I feel like we're not asking that question as often, but we can definitely ask it about, at the very least, the parts with the Joker and the Suicide Squad movie.
Well, I think that we all felt that Suicide Squad was dated in the moment, right? Just the general plot of Suicide Squad seemed rewarmed and rehashed from, you know, going to fight some big bad villain who's going to take over the world with a blue beam hitting down through
a... Sounds like your typical Marvel movie.
Through a skyscraper. Actually, it's technically Ghostbusters. But,
right. It was Ghostbusters.
It was much better the first time they did it. But, yeah, it felt...
That's right. I feel like Suicide Squad and Dutch can stand side by side as like, poor redos of existing movies.
Matt, I thought you liked Dutch.
I do, but, you know, it is a ripoff of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but whatever. I think that with them rebooting Suicide Squad, it feels a little like soon for it, especially when there's so many other untapped DC properties that I feel like, you know, you got James Gunn, let him go wild with something else. Like, I don't know if I'm like chomping at the bit to see like another crack at Suicide Squad. I still, at the end of the day, don't think they're going to do what they need to do to make it successful, which is, you know, make these guys villains. And unfortunately, that's what we're going to be left with, like kind of these conflicted, like sort of anti-heroes that aren't, the premise is broken if that's the way that you go. And I think that was something that this Joker movie that is breaking records left and right kind of suffers from a little bit, is that Joker wasn't as evil as he should have been. At the very least, he wasn't unpredictable as he should be. He was just kind of like, if you wronged him, then he killed you. Well, Jesus Christ, that sounds like the Punisher.
Not even that. Like, if you were in the vicinity when he might accidentally shoot you, you might get killed. That's kind of what, like, he didn't have purpose or planning, which are two of the staples of what Joker does, is he plans some stuff out and has, like, he knows what he wants to do.
But this was before he got off his medication and got smart.
Do you foresee that this Joker ever would become the kind of Joker that we've seen in the comics? I don't.
I think a version of it, yes. Look, I will say this. This movie's getting a sequel. I don't care what people are saying.
Didn't they talk about that earlier this week?
I think Todd Phillips, the director and writer, said that if it makes sense, they'll do it. It's inevitable.
I mean, this... money makes sense, dog.
I heard it was on, it was happening, and then the next day I heard, no, that's not happening at all.
They can say what they want, Paul. It's going to happen. You don't make $1 billion and not follow it up. That's just not the world we live in. If it fucking means that they will bring in a new director and a new Joker, it is happening. There will be a sequel to this movie. And with that, I would love it if it did feel that like it was connected to the greater DCU, however tangentially, but I don't want two Jokers out there. I would love it if this is the version of Joker we get in the current, you know, Batman movies that they're making. You know, you can make him a little more like the Joker. This can be his Joker Begins, and, you know, as we go forward, he can become more of a planner.
Once he was the Joker, I thought he was very much like the Joker.
Well, at the very end, he became the Joker, right? Because he killed the innocent, like, psychologist or whatever she was. But up until that point, he wasn't killing anybody that didn't deserve it, really. People that were in some way harming him. And the director went on record, and I hate this, but he went on record and said he did not kill that woman or her child in the apartment when he found himself in there. I think what would have made this Joker feel more like the Joker is if at the end of that sequence, when he's in the apartment, the next scene you see him walking back to his apartment, if he was covered in blood. You don't have to show the murder, but show that he did murder this woman. And I think that that would have gone a long way in making the Joker feel kind of scary and unpredictable like he is, and evil. He wasn't evil enough, so I'm hoping that he's evil again when they reintroduce him, hopefully as a seasoned Joker that, you know, is a foil to Batman. He's going to have to be, right? If he goes up against Batman, that version of the Joker is not going to do very well.
No, not at all.
He's gonna get punched once and his bones become dust.
unless they make this Batman suck really bad so that way they can both suck love slap fights.
So this new version of Batman, we have a Catwoman cast in the new Batman.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we also talking, I heard that there were talks that Colin Farrell was going to be...
Penguin?
Do we like that?
I think the guy's a pretty decent actor.
He's a great actor. I don't know if...
I don't know if he's great, but...
No, he's pretty great.
Pretty great in SWAT.
Oh, man, I like SWAT. SWAT's really good. Fuck you if you don't like SWAT.
I like my Penguin to be the businessman. Like, I don't even like my Penguin to be overtly bad. I think the New Adventures of Batman and Robin, the second half of the animated series, I think they got the Penguin right. He was a short, squat, tubby guy. He ran the Iceberg Lounge. He catered to some bad elements, maybe dealt some drugs, you know, did some gun running. But,
you know,
it was nothing...
gray area kind of thing.
It was nothing so heinous that Batman shut it all down because it was a good source of information. It was a good go-to for Batman.
So in this movie, if we had that kind of Penguin, we're going to have that kind of Penguin that's not really a bad guy, just a source of info. And then we're going to have Selina Kyle, who he's trying to fuck the whole time.
Well, this Batman, the characters are going against what I want from these characters, because, you know, I think the Penguin's shady. He does some shady shit, but he's a valuable resource for Batman. I feel the same. I think the Riddler works the best way. The Riddler is too fucking silly. When they try to make Riddler serious, like Tom King did and Scott Snyder did, it rings untrue. Like, it's not the Riddler. Like, you can't make Riddler like 300 pounds of 6 foot muscle with a question mark scarred onto his chest. Like, that's not the fucking Riddler. Like, the Riddler is, he's just a psychopath. He's fucking crazy.
So I guess we're getting Paul Dano.
Right. And the Riddler, I think, in that? Paul Dano, but like, with both the Riddler and the Penguin, I want them both to be, they are nuisances in Gotham. They are, like, they are problems in Gotham, but at most, they are nuisances to Batman. They are characters that, like, Batman, if it comes down to it, if he needs to, like, throw them in Arkham or do whatever, he will do it. But they are small fish in a pond of a man-eating crocodile, a homicidal Joker, a homicidal Two-Face. Like, there are bigger problems in Gotham City than my ideal Riddler and the Penguin. Like, I think there are way cooler villains in Gotham City to use for this movie than the Riddler and the Penguin. But, and same with Catwoman, because Catwoman's, like, she's turned that corner like Harley Quinn at this point. She's just more anti-hero than villain. She's not at all. Batman was going to marry her. Talk about letting things slide. But if we're gearing up to a Long Halloween storyline, all of these characters play a part in the Long Halloween. And Riddler, Penguin, Selina, they are all ancillary characters that build the story around Batman. Carmine Falcone was announced. It's going to be John Turturro. So,
did they announce Commissioner Gordon in the show, by the way? Who is that going to be?
It's going to be Jeffrey Wright.
Who's he?
He's from Westworld. He was in The Hunger Games.
Mm. He's the black guy in Westworld. He's the guy that you think he's real, and then all of a sudden he's one of the robots.
Spoiler alert.
Didn't see it.
I think Jeffrey Wright could do a decent.
I think he'll be fantastic, and I think Andy Serkis will be a great Alfred.
Andy Serkis is Alfred.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Presumably, not in Michael Caine mocap.
That would be amazing. I would
so
love that.
We had what's the actor's name that last played Commissioner Gordon? I'm blanking on
Sirius
his name.
Black.
No. He was in the Justice League movie. Yeah. J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh fuck, that was Gordon. Sirius Black Gordon was in the Nolan movies.
Right. Help me out. What's his name?
I'm blanking now because you guys keep saying Sirius Black. It's a super famous. I know everybody at home. You're fucking yelling at us. I get it. We're
J.K.
assholes.
Simmons.
J.K. Yes. Simmons. I thought he looked the part. He looked pretty good as Commissioner Gordon. Yeah, it's kind of a bummer that he gets a one and done.
I also thought Gary Oldman looked really good.
Gary Oldman looked really good too. Agreed.
But I like Jeffrey Wright a lot. Like, I think give him a good mustache. That's what it takes to be Gordon.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like,
hard attitude, good mustache.
They've never given Alfred a freaking mustache either, like, since the 60s show, I feel. I feel like every Alfred they've ever had never looked like Alfred should.
Jeremy Irons and
wrong.
Michael Caine.
Wrong.
And, well, I feel the same way about Thomas Wayne. Why are we not giving Thomas Wayne a goddamn mustache?
He had one in Batman v Superman before he got murked.
But that little fucking tiny little guy in the Nolan movies, terrible casting. I'm like, Chris Nolan, have you ever seen Thomas Wayne? Yeah, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Strong Thomas Wayne. Big guy. Big mustache. Before he lost all that weight, and now he's like...
Little guy. Little mustache.
He's real thin. He's real tall, but he's real thin. He could be the Scarecrow at this point. That's what his build is. If they're going to do Long Halloween, I like these castings so far because there are more heinous characters down the road. But if your like main face off is going to be between the Riddler and and the Penguin, like, you better hook that shit up. You better show me something good, because I don't think those characters are main villain material.
I feel like they're some of the Batman's A-list villains. I don't know what you're talking about.
I think they're the most well-known.
Well, there's but a reason I don't for think that, they're, right?
Yeah, because, like, essentially we're still living off what the 66 Batman, you know, propped up about these characters.
I suppose so. I remember them back from my superpowers days. They were some of the villains, and I had the action figures that were not based on the 60s TV show.
Weren't they? Because I think all of that
superpowers
all of that
were based.
Hanna-Barbera stuff was based off the 60s series.
It's true.
That's why.
No, it
that's
wasn't.
Why Adam West and Burt Ward voiced the Hanna-Barbera versions on Scooby-Doo.
I'm talking about the superpowers. They didn't voice the superpowers characters.
But all that stuff also is derivative of the 60s.
Right. It's all vibe. It's all that era. That's the vibe. That
no, it was more that 70s vibe. I think you guys are conflating the 60s style with the 70s style.
Okay.
70s and 80s, really. I think that the 70s and 80s had
admittedly,
that.
I don't know enough.
I think that the superpower stuff was... Do we think the superpower stuff was more Neil Adams than like the 60s stuff? Because I kind of don't in my memory here.
I mean, it would be closer to that, I would say. But anyway, my point is, I feel like the Riddler and the Penguin are not only do I think that they're strong enough to be the main villain.
So
in
why?
Superpower stuff actually is just like straight up like post-crisis John Byrne looking kind of stuff. Like, it's house style, yeah. 1980s.
So, Matt, tell me why the Riddler should be the starring villain in a Batman movie.
Well, I mean, you can't put him in a green leotard with question marks all over it, assuming, you know, you're not making that kind of a
sure.
movie. I don't get the sense that Robert Pattinson would do well in that kind of camp. So I do think that this is going to be kind of dark and, you know, maybe it'll, I don't know, kind
of... A lot of talk that it's going to focus on the detective aspect.
Maybe it'll split the difference between, like, the Nolan stuff and the Burton stuff. That might be a good balance. And, you know, I think about what the Riddler could be. It could be, like, some fucking lunatic that's like a serial bomber or something, and he's leaving behind riddles and stuff, and that would play into the detective aspect. It would have to be a take on the character, but I think that would be totally fine. It doesn't have to be, you know, some dude that's built like a shit brick house. Did I fuck that up?
No, that's
nope.
that's
what
I always say in reverse. I always say
a brick shit house.
You got it right, shit brick house, Ian. You fucked it up.
I said it backwards on purpose because we were talking
about... No, you
about...
didn't. Matt, keep going.
But I do think that there are cool avenues that they could explore with the Riddler. I always thought that if any of those sequel Batman movies proved anything, it's that you can put too many villains in a movie and it's not as good. Like,
yeah,
looking
this
back...
jam-packed. This,
we,
this brick shit house we, is jam-packed.
We love
do we?
The Dark Knight movie, right? Collectively, oh. We think it's great.
No, we don't. I'm glad that I said, do we? Because Paul doesn't. And
so
you know
it's really good. It's really
okay.
good.
Not,
yeah,
not
I
ready
think,
to love it.
I know. I think we are on board with that's a really good movie.
I kind of feel like...
Not a really good Batman movie. But it's a really good movie.
It's a good movie. Batman squares off against the Joker. It's very interesting.
I mean, is it
in
the Joker
retrospect,
really?
In retrospect.
Is
at the
Batman
time...
really? That's the...
you guys talk. I'll watch.
I'm sorry, Matt.
No,
we're going to turn off our mics.
I'm done.
We're going to turn off our mics. Ian, do you have anything?
Do you have anything to say?
Well, I have nothing. I have no comment.
Matt, we're done. You've got the floor. Go ahead.
I don't remember what I was going to say.
You were talking about the Dark Knight. And that's a good movie, and it was primarily one villain.
And we all like it, but you can never say we all like it, because anytime we say, hey, this thing...
I get interrupted. Is that what it is?
Sure.
So, Two-Face is in that movie. And at the time, we were all kind of like excited about it. Wow, what's he going to look like? It's so cool. He was in it for like 2 seconds and he really didn't do anything of consequence. Harvey Dent was much more interesting. You could have just had him, had the movie end with him, you know, in the hospital. Like, you didn't need to bring Two-Face into the movie. It didn't, the movie wasn't enhanced in any way at all by having Two-Face in it. And the point is, I don't think that even the best of the Batman movies proved that it's better when it's just Batman against a villain. I much, much prefer that than seeing him have to deal with multiple villains. It just doesn't, it doesn't bring anything to enhance the story. And it's proven in virtually every Batman movie they've ever made. Do I think they're going to change that that pattern with this movie? No, I don't. I think it's going to be a little bit of a letdown. And we're going to say, man, if they would have just focused on like Catwoman in this and not the other characters, that it would have been better. But, you know, they can't seem to get out of their own way. And when I say they, I just mean dummies that make these movies. Obviously, they should be coming to us for guidance. They haven't. But when they do, we will provide it.
I like the idea of doing the Long Halloween, because the Long Halloween encapsulates a lot of different aspects of Batman and the Rogues Gallery.
Paul,
past the Rogues Gallery into the crime families of Gotham, but it's so big.
It's bloated.
It's so big of a concept.
Why
like,
don't
this
they...
would have to be like part one of five of the Long Halloween to do? Why?
They could probably
Paul,
do
the
it
Long
three.
Halloween. Justice.
Why don't they take do DC Universe and do a 12 episode series, live action, cast, you know, new Batman and all these characters, and you know, tell that story 12 episodes.
Well, like, I think realistically, Warner Brothers sees Batman as a big screen product. Batman can't taint himself by being on the small screen.
Well, maybe Disney Plus is going to teach them that characters can kind of cross.
Also, have any of us watched anything on DC Universe?
Not yet.
No.
I think I'll have to check. I thought I had a subscription, but I
you were so don't you're like no. Think.
I yeah. was like, oh no.
Hey,
shit,
listen,
it's November.
I haven't either. I can't believe any of it is good enough to carry what would be a Batman trilogy based on the Long Halloween.
They wouldn't put it there. They would put it on HBO Max. So let's frame it in the frame of, where did their prestige other thing go? Watchmen? It went to HBO. So what would they do with Batman? It would go to HBO.
Yeah, that's...
Maybe everything should just go there. Why don't they just fold it all together?
Maybe that's what they're attempting with HBO Max. I think that would be the smart play at this point.
I think that would be cool. I'll tell you this, man. I want to watch Doom Patrol. I want to watch Swamp Thing. I was so turned off by what I saw in that Titans trailer that I was just like, I was so against all of it. And I shouldn't have been, because some of it looks good. I never thought Titans looked good, but who knows? Maybe it is. I kind of almost feel bad for not having given it any chance at all.
Swamp Thing looked really interesting, got rave reviews. There was, they did... What was the animation that was Young Justice? Is that right?
Yeah.
They did another additional season of Young Justice that I always wanted to check out. So who knows? Maybe I'll be a sucker and go back. And
hey, maybe. I'll tell you what, guys. Again. Seriously. I wonder if there's maybe going to be like a Black Friday deal in the coming days. And you know, who knows? It's like, for $30, you can sign up for a year. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll do
hey,
that.
Hey, any fans out there, if you want to kickstart us and have us watch things on DC Universe,
that's right.
Send over your, send some funds over to us, and we'll do it. We'll do it for you, the fans.
This is
we'll
not for us. This is for you. Yeah, give us money. It's for you.
What I do like about that Titans show is that they cast, like, everyone looks really good. Like, the cast looks really good. The kid they got to play Superboy looks like Connor Kent in a black t-shirt.
How are you not watching this?
It looks really good. Because ultimately, I don't think it's going to be any good. Like, I know it's gotten rave reviews. I know it has, but I just, like, I just don't, I don't care enough. I don't care enough. I don't think it's going to be good enough to really suck me in. Maybe it would, but facts are facts, man.
Just try it.
I don't care.
Do the trial. Try it out. See if you like it.
I have other shit to watch. Like, I'm halfway through Living With Yourself. I'm it just makes me sad. It makes me miserable.
Yeah, so keep watching it, man. Yeah.
We already started, so he has to. That show looks stupid. It's about a clone of Ant-Man. That's why you're watching it, because it's Ant-Man. Ant-Man sequel.
I watched it because it stars Paul Rudd. But once you get into it, you're like, oh, this is way heavier than it has any right to be. It's kind of fucked up. Really, like Ian, I think you would.
Oh no!
Really appreciate some of this storytelling.
Because I like the sadness.
Yeah. But yeah.
Maybe I'll check it out.
The DCU stuff. Like I want to, but I don't really care. So I'm not gonna do it. So why don't we shift gears and wrap up the episode talking a little Mandalorian?
Well, I'm sorry. I know that you want to move on, but I kind of wanted to talk a little bit more about the Joker success and the implications on what that might mean for DC movies going forward. Do you guys have any thoughts on what $1 billion of success might do for DC movies?
The same thing that it did for Fox and its brand with making another Deadpool sequel. Did Logan come after or before Deadpool?
Logan came after.
I would think that it would embolden DC to make more mature content.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my thoughts.
Now Deadpool made a fraction of $1 billion, probably not even half of what the Joker made.
Was it not the reigning R-rated superhero or R-rated movie?
It might have been, yeah.
I 100% it was.
Okay.
So, like, the bar was high with Deadpool, and Joker triple jumped over it. So,
yeah.
Props to Joker, but it wasn't like they were... It wasn't new ground, necessarily. They did it better, but it had been done before.
Well, no. I mean, there's always going to be something that is on the top, but like just because Deadpool was the number one, I mean, this was, yes, this is now number one, but it like by such a large margin that it makes you maybe reassess what are they going to do with this rendition of the character? B, is this going to change the way that DC goes about making movies? Like they've kind of sort of have a connected universe, but with the new Batman movie and this Joker that seems not connected to it, and then the Shazam movie, which had moderate success, was loosely tied to, you know, things. They had like a Superman cameo, but it wasn't really Superman. It just makes me wonder, are they recognizing maybe their success lies in not connecting everything?
They've already recognized that, I think.
But have they? Because Wonder Woman and Aquaman were giant successes, and mm-hmm. those movies are both getting sequels. The Wonder Woman movie, I'm assuming, is going to be just as connected as the first one was. Maybe it's not. I don't know.
The first one was tangentially connected to the universe. And when it came out, that was one of the things that we praised it for, was how distinct and by itself, by just setting it in the 1919s, it was.
It felt as connected as like the Incredible Hulk was to the MCU at the time.
I thought it was even more disconnected than that, because it was not happening in the same time frame at all. It was happening 80 years prior to the events that all the other movies. So it was pretty disconnected. I think Aquaman, actually is the more astounding feat, where like Aquaman kind of like absolutely happens in the same time frame as all the other Justice League, Batman v Superman stuff, and that really felt very distant just because of setting, just the general mythology and like sort of medievalness of these different realms that we're going to underwater. So
and not only that, but the movie, like this Joker movie is a crime movie. Wonder Woman was a little bit of a period thing. The Aquaman movie was an adventure movie.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect that. It was like fucking Indiana Jones more than it was Superman.
I get that vibe. I also get like a big swords and sorcery kind
of
thing.
Yeah,
with
a little bit of that.
Different like peoples underwater. So I think
Aqua fantasy.
Yeah, like I get what you're saying, but I think that they already recognize that before Joker. Joker only is going to push that ideal into overdrive.
So what are we saying? They're going to give up on a connected DCU?
I wouldn't be adverse to that. Like, I think that's fine. I don't need everything. You don't have, just because you're comic books and you're similar to Marvel in that you both are the big two and you both make comic books, you don't have to make comic book movies the same way.
Mm-hmm. Well, also last week, Henry Cavill came out in an interview and he alluded to his time as Superman not being finished. And I would love him to get a real shot at being Superman.
At this point, it's going to have to be Kingdom Come.
Oh, God. Kingdom Come is so overrated. I mean, Brandon Routh is already going to be Kingdom Come Superman in the CW.
Wasn't Brandon Routh already regular Superman?
And now
your boy replaced
him
there.
Now he's going to be Crisis or Kingdom Come Superman too. Now,
Brandon Routh is going to be so pissed off. He's going to see Henry Cavill come in and be Kingdom Come Superman, be like, fucking again?
Well, you know, I think, like, I'm glad that Henry Cavill still wants another shot, because he knows he's a good Superman.
He left some runners on base,
and he didn't get the shot that he deserved. So, like, I really hope they bring him back, because he really embodied Superman, like on and off screen when it mattered. Like, he was fucking great. Just come on, Warner Brothers, do it again. Whatever you're doing with these weird sequels or interconnected movies, just bring Henry Cavill back as the Superman, not Snyderverse Superman.
Yeah,
I think we can transition. Like, everyone loves Jason Momoa Aquaman. Everyone loves Bro Aquaman. He's handsome. He's carefree. He surfs on parademons, great. But let's give us real Superman alongside that Aquaman. I think it absolutely can be done. Let's make it happen. I am fucking Henry Cavill for life. Let's do it.
Oh my
let's
goodness.
Make it happen. I fucking love this guy so much.
Does he know that you're fucking him for life?
That dude's so fucking tough. He probably wouldn't even feel it. He'd be like, is there a little penis in my ass?
Now, here's the thing. It's like, was DC just incapable of making a connected universe? Or was it the whole Zack Snyder version just wasn't good enough, but they doubled down on it and they tripled down on it to the point where it was like, they're trying so hard for it to be done in that style that, you know, it took a Patty Jenkins to come along and be like, actually, his characters are pretty good. Casting's pretty good, but you got to do it like this. And
it was a
voila.
Rush. It was a rush job. Anything that you rush like that.
But it wasn't. If you remember, Ian.
I probably don't, but
Batman,
remind me.
Yes, you'll remember. Batman v Superman was like announced, I think, when we were in elementary school. And it took forever to come out.
I'm not talking about the actual movies. I'm talking about what happens in the movies, Matt.
You're talking about trying to put them all together sooner than letting them each have their own individual.
So we're talking about what happens in, like, it would be like Iron Man 1, which would be Man of Steel, and then the next movie would jump probably 5 or 6 movies and just go right into, like, pseudo-Avengers, because that's when we see the big three together.
Yep.
And that's not enough time to build a substantial...
Pseudo Avengers, I believe, was called Captain America 3.
Yes. Okay, so Iron Man, and then we're right into...
Cap 3.
Cap 3. So you can see how that could be problematic.
I can see how that would be problematic. Wise, yes. Right? Yes.
So I think that they could have done a fine job if they would have taken their time.
Yeah.
But they prematurely released...
Oh, Batman. Boy, did they prematurely release
Batman v Superman all over the public's so dirty. Trousers.
So filthy. Do we want to wrap up with Little Mandalorian?
We'll be quick.
Chapter
yeah.
3 talk?
Yeah, we'll be quick.
We can be quick. A little quick discussion earlier before we started recording. Ian and I weren't crazy about episode 3. I think, Ian, you were a little... less passionate than I was.
Maybe I came off as rough. I still enjoyed this third chapter. I just liked it less than all the previous two chapters.
I want to keep calling them episodes, but then that's what the movies are called. Plus, they keep calling these things chapters, but
right.
It's like,
right.
Do you see the new chapter? It just sounds fucking weird.
I don't know. Do we want to call them episodes? I don't know.
We don't have any sponsors. We can do whatever we want. What do you want to do? You want to call them episodes?
Who knows? Who knows? This is a little
piece. They say chapters. We can say chapters. Chapter 3.
It still had some really cool stuff in it, but
The Sin was the name of this one. So
yeah, didn't love
this episode.
The Sin was, it was packed with, much like Batman v Superman, they rushed into it and they jammed too much Mandalorian action in there. You know what? Maybe I'm a pussy and I can't take all that Mando action. But it was, to me, it seemed like it was too much over the top, big, gigantic battle. I personally liked all of the solo Mandalorian stuff, getting to know the character, getting to see the character have his highs, his lows, fail a little bit. I liked that kind of stuff. And to see him get rescued by a group of Mandalorians and have this big gigantic battle in the third episode chapter of this series. It just seemed like too much for me. Didn't like him leveling up with his armor. I think that, and we talked about it before.
Really fast. I feel like I'm with you. I think all of the sweet silver Beskar should have played out later in the season.
And
like really work on it so that by the time he's rolling out in chapter 8, then we're like, oh, like he just steps out and he's all silver. We're like, I'm so hard. This is the guy. But now it's like, well, he's the guy, but from like nuts down, he's
not the guy.
He's still like bronze, burgundy painted. Crap.
The armor is a metaphor for his spiritual journey, much like whoever we were talking about earlier in the episode.
Pauly Shore.
much like famous Mandalorian Pauly Shore had also a spiritual journey to Oklahoma. Said Mandalorian, we need to see that journey take place. I know it's only 8 chapters, but let's stretch it out a little bit. It felt like a little bit of cram storytelling.
We still have over half of the season to go.
Absolutely. Maybe I'm wrong, but it felt rushed to me.
I agree. I feel like the armor felt rushed, but
Matt, you had some different opinions on this. Strikingly
different
opinions.
We're the three bears with this episode. Ian, I think you're most negative, Matt's most positive, and I was all right.
Is that what the three bears did? It was most negative, most positive.
Yeah, I think
this episode
just right.
Was just right. Matt,
this
you liked
episode
it, you
has
it.
Too much Mandalorian.
Yeah, that's right. I think it was Ian's too hard, Paul's too soft.
You're too soft.
Oh, I'm too soft.
I'm just right.
Oh, okay. I beg your pardon.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that this was my favorite out of the three. Actually, I know it was. It elicited an emotional reaction out of me that movies and shows seldom are able to do. And I don't know if Star Wars ever got this out of me, ever, in any capacity. Maybe the end of Revenge of the Sith was close in some ways, but this, like...
You're like, aw.
Well, no, but, like, I was like, concerned about what was going on, and I was...
What were you concerned about at the end of Revenge of the Sith?
Just the way that the Republic was crumbling all over the place and seeing, like, everybody get killed and kind of, you know, the final confrontation with Anakin and Obi-Wan. It was heavy stuff. But this child gets taken away, and you're like, oh my God, they're taking this kid. And little baby Yoda makes some little goo-goo gaga noises, and I was, like, feeling it. And then he gets in his ship, and he reaches for the... you know, the stick or whatever to shift, and he sees this little ball on top was taken off, and it, like, somehow, and this is pretty cool, and this reminds me of, like, how Dave Prowse was able to act through all the armor of Darth Vader in those original movies, but, like, you could see the character is just kind of conflicted. He looks at the thing, and he turns the ship off, and he goes to rescue this baby. And I think that's probably why I'm okay with the speed at which he got his armor, because I think I realized that I kind of thought that's where the show was going to go. It was going to be him piecing the armor together bit by bit, but it's not about that. The show is about him leaving the guild and the Bounty Hunters Guild, and now he's going to be a marked man. You know, he goes from being the hunter to the hunted, and he has to protect this child. He doesn't know why, but he just has this almost like paternal instinct to protect it, and I find that very interesting. Way more interesting than, gee, I wonder if he's going to get his shoulder pad or his forearm plate this week.
Again, Matt, it's metaphorical. It's the
I know,
mental
Ian,
journey
Ian,
that he's going
I am
on.
Not as deep as Pauly Shore to follow that. I like a more simplistic story, and I like the story that we're getting in the style. The Mandalorians, while it was a lot, it was cool to see, and frankly, I didn't expect that we would see something like this on the show, especially not so early, but I thought it was kind of cool. It looked good. I loved that he didn't just give in and give the kid up. He was going to fight until the very end. And I think that was interesting for the character. I expect the rest of the show, the final, what, five episodes are going to be him kind of fending off other bounty hunters and, like, Imperial remnants that are after him and the child.
He's a marked man. Yeah, I don't have any problem with any of the stuff that you said regarding the character's arc and his motivation. That's actually the stuff that I liked. I just liked a smaller kind of sampling of the Star Wars universe. I liked
sort of
the, like, smaller personal kind of thing that mm-hmm. we were doing. Episode 2 was definitely my favorite. We talked earlier and heard that a lot of feedback was that it was a filler episode, but I thought
that
episode built so much about the world of Star Wars and this character that I thought it did so much heavy lifting in 32 minutes that we haven't seen in some feature films. So
I went from kind of liking the show to I'm loving it now. So what can I say?
Oh, it's absolutely appointment television for me. Just because I'm sitting here saying, like, I didn't like episode 3 all that much.
Yeah.
I still liked it. I still liked a lot of things that happened. I'm fucking pumped for episode 4.
Yep.
Like, it was the least favorite of all the episodes for me for a smattering of reasons.
Yeah.
But it's definitely, to be honest, it's definitely my favorite thing on TV right now.
Well, I think what they need to do, and that's cool to hear that, I think what they need to do is introduce an antagonist, like a legitimate foil to, I almost called him Boba Fett, the Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we're ever going to get, like, his legit name, or are we just...
Yeah, they
do you,
said...
Or do you care, or...
I would like for him to have a name, mm-hmm. And I would like for Baby Yoda to have a name, too. I thought it was interesting, though. I saw, whenever I was watching it, I noticed that the guy that was running the experiments on Baby Yoda refers to him as a he a couple times, because I had a feeling they were going to make it a girl, but it's a, according to that doctor or whatever, it's a boy.
That doctor is a quack anyway, though.
Yeah, what does he know? Did he check him?
I bet
did he
did,
check
though.
Under his Jedi robes?
That's the only thing that doctor did.
Looked at his little Yoda dick.
Dr. Bad Yoda touch.
He's a fucking scientist.
I think
he's not in it for the.
I'm sorry, Professor Yoda Dick.
He's not in it for a fucking cum shot. He's in it for science. He's in it for cloning.
Does this mean that Baby Yoda's dead by the time we get to the sequel movies?
Oh boy, I hope not. Right?
Because he ain't around in
Matt,
the sequel movies.
I mean, it's
big
a big
galaxy.
Universe.
Big galaxy.
I guess so. But
a lot of places for Yoda 2 to be hiding out.
Would he still? He'd be Yoda teenager by the time the.
Do
sequel
we think? What is this?
Out?
What is this? Is it a clone of Yoda? Is it Yoda's child? Is it just another one of the species?
I would prefer it to be another one of the species. I don't need it to be directly connected to Yoda. I want to find out that Yoda's species are inherent, like, force users.
I think it's a clone of Yoda, because all of these new Star Wars writers can't help but tie everything back to old shit. Except Rian Johnson, who clearly severed all of those ties. But everyone else, like, needs to tell, like, it needs to be part of something.
Well, I
like
so, that, like,
if this is not a clone of Yoda, I will be surprised.
I like that they brought in Professor from, he has, like, Kamino stuff on.
Professor Kamino.
That's cool that we're bringing that part of the prequels in. But I don't think that this baby is a clone.
Oh, I want it to be just another.
I just want it to be another baby.
Right, yeah, me too. I want it to be just random baby. Hey, I want it in the universe. I want Professor Kamino to be like, this species is one, just midichlorians super, through the roof.
Super rare.
These guys are super rare. They're high force users, and we fucking found one that's seemingly abandoned. Like, we need to get our hands on this. And then Werner Herzog is like, yeah, this is a great idea. Just throw all
that's not
of,
what he would say. Throw, that's not how he would say it. He would say, this is a great, idea.
Throw all of the best car at it. Right. So, yeah, like, I like that it's just they stumbled across this incredibly rare thing. Like, I don't want it to be clone Yoda. I don't want it to be Yaddle's baby. I don't want it to connect
baby
to anything.
Yaddle.
I just want it to be, hey, this species exists in the Star Wars universe. They're very force sensitive, and we found one. And here we go, off to the races.
Not as force sensitive as Rey, though, right?
Well, who is? Who fucking is? Especially
nobody
since
ever.
We know this one is a boy. Does not exhibit the right traits to be as force sensitive as Rey, because penises are garbage.
Oh shit! I forgot what I was gonna say. I had a final thought. But
do you have a Werner Herzog impression you'd like to break out?
I don't. I will
glad
say
he got away, because I want more of him. Not because he's Werner Herzog, because everyone just seems to beat their dick to the fact that it's Werner Herzog in a Star Wars movie.
But he's got a fucking crazy ass distinct.
Yeah, I just think he's
way
just,
of like breaking down dialogue.
I
dude.
Agree. It's, I just think he's just a cool, weird part of the Star Wars universe.
Mm-hmm.
Give me more of that guy. And Professor Kamino. Like, I feel like I've seen that actor places before.
He's been in some.
And you don't cast someone like that if you're just going to kill him real quick. And they didn't kill him. He's still around. Like, I want more of that guy, because I think he has more empathy and more story to tell. So let's
all the weird
let's
shit.
Let's see what's up with him.
I looked up and I got scared for a second, because I saw up in the corner there was a stormtrooper helmet. I thought it was one of those dirty fucking stormtroopers that are going to come and get us. Do we have any? We don't have baby Yodas here. No, we're not holding.
No, Disney would have fucking raided this place.
I think Disney is hard at work at coming up with Baby Yoda merch for Christmas. Oh, I think they had to keep it hidden, obviously, so they couldn't have the merch out there.
Yeah.
But now that the, you know, the secret's out, I think they're going to try to work fast so that way there's some shit out there for people to buy.
I hate a baby, but I love a Baby Yoda.
Right?
Yeah, Matt, I'm with you in this. The Baby Yoda business really elicited some emotions in me that I didn't think were possible. And like we had talked earlier, the time between when Mando drops the baby off with Professor Kamino and Professor Kamino takes him back to the experimentation room.
And he starts licking his lips.
Right, and Baby Yoda's kind of like looking over his shoulder. He's like, Mando, whoa.
This guy's going to touch my dick.
And Mando's just, like, kisses his fingers. Peace out, Baby Yoda.
He starts counting the best car. He's like, right. It's not the worst car. It's the
and there's
best
a
car.
Like there's a pretty good, and this is what like the emotional significance of the episode brought out in me. It felt like there was an hour of this episode between when Mando drops him off and when he decides to go back to get him. Like I'm like, where go get him? What are you waiting for? Get that baby.
I didn't think he was gonna go back for him until maybe the next episode.
Yeah,
I thought he was gonna leave the planet, and I was like, you fucking dick.
So let's talk about this in world time, because he had his like top suit of his armor forged, and like how many hours did it take? Before Mando was like, you know.
I got the sense it was all the same day because it was bright and sunny out. Yeah. It was bright and sunny out when he got the Beskar armor.
It's a desert planet. Then is it always bright and sunny out?
No, because when he goes back, it's dusk. And when he finally leaves, it's nighttime.
That's right.
I think this is all same day. Let's say manufacturing. Let's just be generous and say it was a full day. It was 9 a.m. when he got his money. And, by the time he went back, it was 7:30 p.m.
Werner Herzog was like, great, it is time for breakfast, hand over the baby.
Desertish planet, what's it called? It's called like Adelon 2. It's not Tatooine, it's Adelon 2 or... No.
However you say Tatooine
backwards. Planet, no, that planet is Quill's planet. It's Nick Nolte's planet. It's called Adelon 2 or something. I don't know what... bounty planet.
Who knows? Tatooine too.
Let's just say they are in the peak of summer, so it's not even getting dusk until 9 p.m. So we have like 9 a.m. 9 p.m. We've got a full 12 hours to make that new armor and go back to get them. Like, what is Professor Kamino doing? Ian, he is not fingering that baby. What is he doing all that time? I guess like the machines need calibrated for this little being, someone of those powers. He needs to find the proper concoction of how to subdue this baby, because seemingly he's a professor. He should know that this is a force sensitive thing and this baby can take care of itself, so he needs to knock it out. He needs to drug it. Like, all of this stuff takes time, and when Mando gets him, he's in the middle of the process. So, like, I think that all plays out. It takes time to calibrate all this stuff, calibrate the drugs, make sure you're doing everything properly, still for the Empire, because these down-and-out stormtroopers are ready to murder. And Werner Herzog, he doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't give a fuck, because Werner Herzog's like, kill the baby. And Professor Kamino's like, no, he's got to be alive. He's got to be alive.
Or do we think that Professor Kamino is like, oh, I'm just saying this so Mando doesn't blast my fucking skull off. That's the vibe that I get from him.
No, I didn't think... Because he questioned it in the first episode. He's like, wait a minute, well, you didn't say anything about killing the target.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I think Baby Yoda's got to be alive.
So... I think the reason why the Mandalorian went back and why he's bonding with this thing is because he sees what he went through in those little brief flashbacks, like during the Clone Wars, because you see a super battle droid at one point, which I'm like, I like that. You're bridging all the trilogies.
You're Ezra bridging the gap.
Get out.
Yuck.
Punnery.
So I think at some point somebody's going to rescue, baby Mandalorian.
Baby Mando.
In one of these flashbacks. I've heard a rumor, don't think it's true, but I've heard a rumor that it might be Obi-Wan that saves him. So you might see an Obi-Wan cameo where, you know, he's saved by a Jedi or something during the Clone Wars.
Are we going to get legit Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan?
That's what I've heard, but I kind of don't think it's true.
That's fucking too cute. Get the fuck out of here. I don't want that.
Wait. What don't you want? You don't want.
I don't want. Baby Mando to be saved by
a Jedi Knight.
It
just so happens to be Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan specific.
But like I said, these people can't help but tie everything into something else. Like nothing can be at random. Nothing can be at random left to these fucking creators.
I think that...
I thought you were going to say, like, these creatures.
I think that what'll happen is he'll be saved by just a Mandalorian, and then he'll be brought into the race.
I thought you were going to say he was going to be saved by Boba Fett.
No, because I don't think the timeline would align. Not only that, didn't George Lucas say, like, forever ago... that Jango Fett and Boba Fett aren't Mandalorians. They just wear the armor. They're just bounty hunters that, like, got a hold of the armor.
Yeah, but still, like, if you were saved by somebody in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform...
You'd be a Steelers fan.
You would be a Steelers fan through and through. You're like, I'd never take off my terrible towel.
Never take off my football helmet.
This is the way. But here we go.
This... Pedro Pascal seems like he is Mandalorian. You know,
aren't they always kind of questioning?
Emily Swallow's like, hey, have you ever taken off your helmet for eating, for sex, for hygiene? No, never. Mandalorian. He seems just into the Mandalorian way. Like, I don't think he would be like. Granted, he needed to say that to save his life in that moment, but. He seems just in. He's just the best car is what matters, and man, real Mandalorian armor is about the best car. So I
all
think
about
he
the best
is.
Car, baby.
I think he is a Mandalorian. Like whether Boba Fett is or isn't, who gives a shit? That dude's chump change. Jango Fett, terrible name, terrible child. Like those are two of the worst characters ever in Star Wars history.
At this point, we're all Mando all the
this
time.
Dude, we are
top Mandalorian.
This
the one
is
with no name.
Right. Pedro Pascal is why I ever respected the name Mandalorian. I think he's the real deal. I think he is a Mandalorian, and he wants to live up to what his people are all about.
Which is weirdly suffocating in their sleep in those helmets.
It's a weird thing. Why would they do that? Why
I
would,
look at him as almost they... like they're tribal in a sense. Like maybe like. The Jedi are kind of like monks with, you know, as warriors within the Star Wars universe. Maybe the Mandalorians are like Native American style warriors. I think it's just kind of cool to see like another race of warriors in Star Wars that are capable, but in their own different way than like Jedi. I think it's pretty neat to see like.
I do like this. The world building.
Yeah
cool, I like
expanding
the
universe. Or
I like the specific cultural tropes of. What the Mandalorians have presented so far. Like I said earlier, I don't know why they need to hide. That wasn't clear to me through the episode storytelling. And I also think never removing your helmet is stupid. But, like, you know, we've seen Mandalorians in the Clone Wars, and when they're on Mandalore, they remove their
helmets.
We've seen tons of... In the Clone Wars, we've seen tons of Mandalorians without their helmets. So I don't know what the cultural line is of when they come off, when they don't come off.
It could just be like this is a different tribe or whatever. Maybe because the race is so decimated from the Galactic Civil War, the Clone Wars, or whatever, things are just different.
Right,
whatever.
And it is a it becomes a cultural touchstone. You know. just the helmet, the T-shape, like that is instantly recognizable for this culture, for who these people are.
These people.
But at the same time, like my OCD brain needs a reason why we're so rigid at this moment on why we're not. If it's just Mandalorians with Mandalorians, like, why are we not in those smelting caves taking our helmets off, just being our fucking people? Like, why is it such a thing? Like, if you're going to introduce a rule like we never take these off, I need to know why we never take
these
off.
Yeah, that's just your OCD brain. Like, I don't give a shit. It's just something that those characters do. Try to enjoy it.
I am enjoying it. I'm enjoying it very much. Like Ian said, it is must-see TV.
Yeah, dude, I'm watching Friday nights. I kind of get my dinner together. Whoa.
I put my helmet on.
Put my helmet on. Yep.
What drives me crazy is it like 7:30 in the morning on a Friday when I'm already seeing like Mandalorian shit pop up in my Twitter
feed.
You
need to take from the gas off of Twitter. That's what you need to do.
But it's just when I'm working, it's Twitter's just up. Like it's where all of my news comes from.
When
it's,
I'm working, I'm also fucking around on Twitter.
Social media.
So, but I get this stuff from West Coast people. Like West Coast Twitter people at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, there's
East Coast time
out there.
Just keep Twitter off until you see it.
What's wrong? What's wrong with you, PewE, Matt? I can't do that. I didn't watch Mandalorian until like last night.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, well, Sunday night. Yeah, I didn't watch it until.
About it because it's your
you
fault.
Should watch it. Watch it Friday nights, man.
Oh, I'm so busy. Like I need to watch it relatively sober. I'm not even close to sober on Friday nights.
That's too bad.
It's a shame.
That's gonna do it for us tonight. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Sharpley.
Baby Yoda.
We'll see you next time.